Matthew 16, a very familiar scripture to all of us, but we're going to go over it, and we're going to begin with verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And we'll find out what that means momentarily, but I want to point out the Greek here. For a purpose, when his disciples were come to, into. The Greek word there is eis, as the way it's pronounced. It's E-I-S. It's a three-letter word, and it means into. They didn't come up to the other side and stop, but they came into the other side. Now, in a few minutes, when we get a little further into the chapter, we'll understand a little bit more of why that's important. The other side of what? Okay? Verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So, bread in the scriptures, bread represents what you eat. What you partake of. So whenever it talks about bread, it's your food, you see. So, and that's the reason in verse 6, Jesus says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, the doctrine and the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was the bread. That's what they were they're feeding the people. It's not good. And that's why he said what he did concerning the bread. He was not speaking of literal bread, but that which the Pharisees and the Sadducees were feeding them. 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias. Elias, of course, is Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. In other words, they think that you're one of those Old Testament prophets that have been risen from the dead. In verse 15, Jesus said unto them, whom do you say that I am? And of course, Simon Peter is always one that speaks up in a hurry. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So important thing here, if you have a revelation of Christ, of Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God, that revelation does not come from man. That revelation comes from God. And when God reveals something to you, it's very, very important. So, we don't want to be like the Baptists. We go to the Baptist church, and whatever they tell us, we accept. The Methodist church, or the Presbyterian, or the Pentecostal, whatever. But what we want to understand the truth, because the Lord Himself reveals it to us. Not the doctrines and teachings of some denomination. And that's what he was talking about in verse 12. He said, "Beware of the leaven of doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." You be aware of what they're teaching, because it's not good. So Simon Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded and said, "You're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood, or no man, has revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." That is something special. When you get a revelation that comes from God, man, what does that mean? First of all, it means He loves you, He cares about you, He wants you to become something special, and He's revealing Himself to you, and revealing His love to you, and giving you an understanding. Believe for it. I've said many times, things don't just happen. Seek the Lord. Believe for Him to reveal things to you. We're just about as dumb as anybody could possibly be, any animal. We're born in a state that we don't understand, we don't see, we can't hear, we don't know God, and we get caught up in religious things of people trying to tell us this is what God is like. Every denomination is different. Everyone's got a different teaching. We want to hear it from God Himself, and He will reveal Himself to you. But it doesn't just happen. All right, where did I stop? 19. "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Ooh, man. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is locked up, and you need to get in there. He's got the keys for you. And the keys to the kingdom of heaven are the revelation that He gives you. Every time you receive a revelation from the Lord, He's given you a key to help to open a door so that you can get into the kingdom of heaven. And kingdom of heaven is not something that you get snatched off the earth and taken up in the sky. You can be right here in your natural body on this earth and experience the kingdom of heaven. Now, you go back to the very beginning of Matthew, same thing with Mark, Luke, and John, each one of the gospels. Go back to the beginning, and the first thing, when Jesus comes on the scene, He starts teaching about the kingdom of heaven. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And that's what I mean when I say it don't just happen. "Seek and you shall receive," is what He says in another place. Want it. Want it so much that you go out to God. "Lord, you promised that you said do this. I'm going to wake you up. I need the understanding. I need the revelation. I want one of those keys." And after I get one of those keys, give me another key. I want to go all the way.
And when we get the key, then we have to walk through that door.
That's right. All right. In the middle of 19, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, what is He talking about there? He's going to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And when you get those keys to the kingdom of heaven, you're going to be able to bind things of the earth, and they shall be bound in heaven, and you'll be able to loose things on earth, and they shall be loosed in heaven. All right, it means God's going to make you one that can bind things that need to be bound and loose things that need to be loose. You're going to be able to teach others and minister to others and bring them into the same thing so that they also have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. Now, why would he tell his disciples, don't tell anybody who I am? They need to find out for themselves, and they need to find out from a revelation from God. 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. So after that, he begins telling them about the fact that he's going to be crucified in Jerusalem. And in verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Oh, Peter, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. Father, thou savorest not, or you don't know, the things that be of God for those that be of men. In other words, you're looking at this thing like men would look at it. You're not understanding what God is doing. Then in verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. And here again, we have to understand the scripture. When he says, if any man will come after me, what he's saying is, if you want to become as I am, you want to come after me, you want to become as I am, means the same thing. So what do we have to do if we want to become like Jesus? What are you going to do with those keys? What are you going to do about the revelation you got? Well, are you going to walk through the door? Or you want to become as he is? You mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2, where it speaks of the fact that he wants to bring forth not just one son, Jesus Christ, but there to be many sons. And he wants each one of us to become one of those sons. So there has to be the desire to become as he is. And that's why he's saying, if any man will come after me, what are you going to have to do? Let him deny himself. If you're now moving and in such a way that you're endeavoring to move into more of the Lord, you're going to find very quickly that your greatest hindrances are going to come from the things of self. Your greatest warfare is going to come from the things that are within you. That's a fact. So, then that's the reason he said, if any man will come out to me, let him deny himself. It's not easy. We're born with wanting things, wanting to become certain things, and all of that has to be denied. But that's just the first step. Then, take up his cross. Now, he just got through saying up there in verse 21 that he was going to be crucified. They were going to put him on a cross and kill him. And now he's saying in verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow him where? Well, self is not going to die unless it dies on the cross. Is that right? I think it is.
Yes.
So you have several steps. If you want to become as he is, deny self, take up the cross, And then follow me. And to follow me is the last thing that's listed there. And the others have to come first. 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He's talking about that denying of self. If you try to save your life, and don't worry, there's a natural instinct to save self. And you'll find yourself trying to save yourself. It's natural. But he says, whoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. The Greek word for angel is angelos, and it means messengers. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I got a little circle around his, speaking of his works, because that's not your works. That's his works, the Lord. It's not what you do for the Lord, it's what you allow him to do through you. And the only way that he can do his works through you is when you deny self and you go to the cross, and there's that battle of emptying out the things of self that are in your way. Then he can work through you. Verse 28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, this section here, where it's verses 24 and 25, that's coming to the other side. I mentioned that from verse 5, when they come into the other side. And there's another side that we have to come into, and that's coming into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is another world, it's another side, and you can't just come up to it, but you have to come into it and be a part of it and live in it and function in it. And that's what it's going to take. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's coming to the other side.